Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yogurt has been a part of our diet for centuries and can often be one of the first foods we are introduced to. Adding to the Little Yo range, Yo Valley have launched their own yogurt pouches, a good source of protein and calcium. These children-friendly yogurts are perfect for hungry little tummies and couldn't be better for when you're out and about. So now there's no need to be searching for those healthy snacks when on an adventure, so just make sure that you bring those Little Yo pouches with you. Available in two delicious flavors, which come in recyclable pouches, these Little Yo yogurts are perfect for snacking and on the go. To find out more, head to yovalley.co.uk and find it in your local supermarkets. Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Food for Thought, a podcast that's on a mission to equip you with all the evidence-based advice that you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each episode, I'll be joined by special guests, all of whom can be considered authoritative voices in health, so that together we can learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with trusted expert advice. Morning routines can be powerful and set our pattern for the rest of the day. With a worried, filled morning likely to flood into an anxious afternoon, starting the morning with intention may create a sense of calm and confidence that makes the rest of the day seem more manageable. This week's Food for Thought sees the happy pair, that's Dave and Steve Flynn, explore the ultimate morning routine and its impact on us personally and professionally. Hello, Dave and Steve.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, oh my goodness. I have been so excited to get you boys on the podcast. Let's start with something that I think a lot of people say, the whole phrase of win the morning, win the day. I mean, what do you guys think about that, considering we're talking about morning routines?
I think we've got a really strong morning routine and always have done. And I think it's kind of like the foundation of your day in a sense that it can set your energy or your spirit on a certain trajectory. And it's kind of hard to take it off in a sense then. Like, yeah, I just think it's such a core aspect of your day. And I think, as you said there, your day can be won and lost in the morning. Obviously, you can turn around at any stage, but I think the morning you're just giving yourself the best chance for the day to unfold in a very favorable way.
It also gives you the opportunity to set up momentum or inertia, I think. And often that kind of inertia can sustain you through kind of, you know, maybe an issue that happens in life that isn't quite what you want. And suddenly, like generally the way we'll start the day is we generally, and we don't live together anymore, but typically get up really early, get up around 5, 5:30. Recently I've been getting up around 4:30. I go to bed about 9:30 and then get up around 5:00. I'll start training, normally around 6:00, do probably an hour of training. Then we go down, we swim in the sea at sunrise. Sunrise now is about 7:10. So we swim all year round at sunrise, and it's something that we love because there's something so ceremonious about seeing the sunrise, kind of connecting with nature, having to overcome your fears and get into the cold water. And we kind of tend to do it in a group of us, kind of socially distanced at the moment. But it's something that really, I guess, is so important to our day and to starting our day.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I remember when I came to visit Action, I don't know if you can hear now in the background, it's hailing here and chucking it down with rain. And you guys do that in all weather, don't you? You literally go and you'll get in the sea pretty much.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit like that, like it's the mental discipline. Like there's much the physical reality of going, surrendering to the cold Irish sea. but there's the mental resilience that and the fortitude it kind of fosters in terms of there's obviously 50% of the days living in cold Ireland that it's cold and rainy and wet or snowy or a northerly wind that it's skin you and you're gone down there just when it's just at dawn, like, so it's just turning into daylight. You're shedding your clothes and you're just going into Mother Nature and embracing whatever life throws at you. And it can be like, I remember there was one day last week we went down and it was like, it was absolutely lashing rain. And we walked down like a pair of lunatics and we got to the beach and there was probably four or five other people there. And we stood there and you literally couldn't get dressed because it was just, as soon as you took you were just soaked everywhere. And we got into the sea and it was the wildest, it was like just life, it was overflowing with life. And then out of nowhere, the sunrise just emerged like something out of a Walt Disney movie. Mm. And the sun came out and the birds were going by. And it was one of the most magical moments. Like, it was like one of those things that if you could bottle it and sell it, you'd make the world a much better place.
I mean, you're both quite notorious for, you know, being very, very energetic as well. And for anybody that's thinking, wow, like, I can't imagine anything worse than getting up in the morning in the dark doing that. What would you say to them? What would you say, or if they don't live near the sea, what can they do instead in the morning? Because I know that you guys live pretty close to the coast.
Yeah, we're very fortunate where we live. Even now, I'm looking out over the harbour and it's a stunning view. And not everyone listening, obviously, has such a view, but everyone, I guess, lives somewhere on this wonderful planet that we call home. But one of the things that is so key to us sustain this, can I tell you a little bit of a story just about how we started doing it?
Yes, please. We'd love that.
Great. the way we started swimming in the sea at sunrise, we never had the intention. We simply went down. We used to take photos of the sunrise. And me and Dave, we go down, we could talk about work when we're doing it. Nice bit of time to kind of reflect, peaceful, watch the sunrise, take a photo, put it up on social media. People seemed to engage with it because it was like hope, new day, dawn, innocence, purity, creativity, all these things it kind of represented. And I was down about, I'd say it's almost 6 years ago, I was down one September, and it was a manky morning, like real grey and northerly wind and freezing. But there was a beautiful sunrise, and I was just taking my picture, and I took my picture, and there was this lunatic in swimming. And I said to Dave, geez, look at your man, he's mad, isn't he? And he got out, and me and Dave went to all boys schools and played a lot of rugby and kind of are pretty susceptible to that kind of macho, challenging type thing. And he got out and stood there in a big kind of big wide stance and kind of almost like banged on his chest, you're getting in, lads! And us being I don't know what the word is, stupid is probably the best word. Susceptible to it, went, yes, of course we are. You know, we're that one step back down of a challenge. And we got into the sea and kind of getting in the sea, kind of going, oh, what am I doing? I'm so stupid. But it was wonderful. Afterwards, I felt great. And we got chatting to, he subsequently told me his name was Neil. And we got chatting, we had a nice little chat. And then as he was leaving, he said, see you tomorrow, lads. And it was like, yeah, defo. So then we met him the next day. And then the next day, Caroline joined us. And the next day, Hugo joined us. And we didn't know how long we were going to do this. Like, you know, we weren't one of those people that swim in the sea in winter. We're not one of those crazy people. But the bit that made it sustainable was the friendship, the joy, the laughter, the kind of collective challenge and the sense of embracing nature together and almost like baptizing your fears in this cold water and coming out feeling reborn, like kind of vibrant, alive, suddenly. And to anyone listening, the point I was trying to make there, probably going a bit of a long way around it, is that I think the sense of collectivity and the sense of community, because often in the morning, like especially this time of year when the alarm goes off at 5 a.m., I'm kind of like, I don't want to get up, but I've organized to meet Dave, so I better show up. So there's that sense of social accountability. And then when I show up, we kind of do it together. So there's a bit of fun, there's a bit of joy, there's a bit of togetherness in the same way with swimming the sea. So I think first thing I would recommend is to try to, if you look at the blue zones, which are the kind of five areas in the planet where there's the most amount of centenarians, that's people that have lived over the age of 100, the number one factor that kind of predicates their longevity is the sense of community, that the healthy choice is the easy choice. So the more you can create an environment that makes it easier for you to make the healthier choice, whether it be exercise, whether it be eating. So that would be my first point.
And I think, Stephen, just to add to that, is that I think the social accountability piece is a piece that a lot of people kind of miss out in terms of morning routines, because willpower will only get you so far and motivation will only get you so far, but social accountability will get you so much further. Like, I think together, like, you can go fast alone, but together you can go so much further. Like, there is all these expressions and there is great truth in them. And when I think of us with our morning routines, like, they wouldn't have lasted as long as, you know, the last 10 or 15 years, unless there was a collective of us doing it. And like our morning routines, as Stephen mentioned already, like we'll typically train, whether it be yoga or handstands or gymnastics or running or Pilates or whatever the hell it might be. And then there's meditation and then the swim in the sea. And there's a collective of us that does it in like different parts. Not everyone does all of it, but our morning kind of tends to go on for about an hour and a half. And that's our routine. And it kind of sets us up for the day that we've almost had a party. We've had a social event. Mm. We've done something physical. Mm. We've had a laugh and we've probably had a coffee as well in there or some kind of a drink or something. And it's, we've already had, you know, it's almost been like a 5-year-old's birthday party before the day starts, you know.
That's such a good way of looking at it, actually. The fact you get so much social interaction first thing. And that's what I think a lot of people don't get, because they're waking up either in the same routine with their partner and then off they go straight away. Well, I guess before the pandemic, it would be off you go to work, off you go on your commute. So now I would say the reason we're doing this podcast is it's the perfect time to get people into that sort of something new that can really lift them up for the day. Do you wake up, guys, with an alarm clock or is it natural with the sun? Because you mentioned an alarm going off there.
So Steve here, I kind of use an alarm often just because I have young kids and often my sleep is broken. And but I do go to bed normally around 9:30 p.m. So I go to bed pretty early. I'm kind of like a young kid myself, 40-year-old young kid. So I tend to set
forever
an alarm.
Forever young.
Well, I'll do my best until we die, you know that way. But I'll wake normally kind of 10 minutes before my alarm and I'm kind of just lying in bed. And I know Dave, something Dave's been working on is having an alarm.
Yeah, I got in the habit this year of just not using an alarm at all. Wow. So I don't use one, haven't used one at all this year, except for once or twice where I knew I had to be somewhere for 4:30 or 4:45 and I didn't. You know, the chances were I probably would have been awake for them, but I just set it just as a security. But other than that, the whole year I haven't used one just because.
So if we're comparing both of you, so one of you uses one of you doesn't. Do you find it's more stressful having that alarm? Because do you use a phone if you do or.
A good few years ago when I was using an alarm, we got those light ones for our bedrooms. You know, the ones that the light comes on gently. You set it for 5:15 and then at 4:45 it starts to slowly come on. And you wake up kind of thinking, who'd left the light on? And then you're awake rather than any noise. And it doesn't wake your partner beside you in the bed, which is quite handy as well, because, you know, that can often be a bone of contention. So I find that a much better one. And then you don't bring your phone to bed and you aren't looking at what's going on tomorrow or getting back to anything. So that's my habit anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think for a lot of people, the minute they look at their phone when they wake up, they're probably inundated with notifications. I know that the inbox is probably exploding and it's so tempting, isn't it, to just have a look and look over. But doing what you've done, perhaps people that don't live near the coast could go for a walk with a friend or meet someone before work, if this is obviously possible, or take the kids in the garden if they're lucky enough to have a garden.
Or have a cold shower, even have a cold, like this, like I think the big point, like this, you can have all these habits of doing yoga, doing meditation, all those kind of things. But I think the piece that a lot of people are missing is the social accountability and the together piece. Because I really do, I think that's so inherent in humans. Like I think social, like one of our most basic physiological need is that sense of belonging and connection and community. And I think if we can get an element of that fed first thing in the morning, it can nurture a certain part of us as well as and if you can tag it along with a physical element, I think it just compounds.
It definitely lifts the mood. And you've said that you go to bed quite early the night before. And I know that broken sleep is tough as well. I know that as a new mum myself. At the moment, I'm up all hours sometimes of the night. But do you have anything particular that you'd recommend to enhance sleep quality so people can wake up feeling a bit more motivated to integrate a new routine, like you said, like getting a bit more social?
Definitely. Yeah, we've got Steve, do you want to lead off? There's a few.
Okay, cool. Yeah, generally, you know, we all have the fancy word. You've heard that fancy word, circadian rhythm, which is just your natural biological cycles within the circadian clock, the 24-hour clock. And typically they say that the number one most important factor for consistently sleeping well is regularity, going to bed at the same time and getting up at the same time. And even if the weekend you do stay up late on Friday and Saturday night, try to get up at the same time and just have a nap. It makes it a lot more sustainable, because even I know we kind of have this inbuilt relationship with the 24-hour clock in a sense of time. So number one, regularity. Number two, try to reduce your exposure to artificial lights. Like obviously just dim the lights if you have dimmers. If you don't have dimmers or kind of fancy lights like that, just light a candle. Because artificial lights have been proven to reduce the melatonin levels in our body, which often is associated with helping us feel tired, sleepy, and a need for rest.
And I think a really important thing, which is right up there as having a sleep routine, you know, because you'll know as a young mom that you have a routine, and it's very important to have a routine to get your kids to bed. But as adults, we tend not to have them. We're sitting in bed flicking through our phone, and then we brush our teeth and go to the toilet, and that's a bedtime routine, and it took us 5 minutes. Whereas I know with my kids, particularly when they were younger, like my bedtime routine with the kids was probably an hour and a half, where I just slowly wind them down and we'd just calm down. So I think as adults, if you can spend a full hour before you go to bed and not look at screens, actually maybe read a book, have a bath, have a shower, do whatever you do, have a conversation, drink a cup of tea, whatever, just do something to try to actually wind yourself down, because sitting there watching action movies in bed and then turning the light out is not the best.
It's crazy, isn't it? I feel like technology, we're so reliant on it, and even more so now that we've experienced something like COVID. I think we can't really live without it, but at the same time, it's not enhancing our lives in so many areas, like the sleep one that you guys have just mentioned. So let's take a little case study. If you were to sleep very poorly, would you still recommend getting up and just going? Do you think that would help lift someone's mood? Yeah.
Yeah, I would, but I just have a nap, but whenever I felt tired, I'd have a nap. You know, if it could be possible, like I just, even like I know myself, I can sleep standing up, I can sleep against the wall, I can sleep anywhere. So I could.
You're very lucky.
Yeah. Well, I've one of those bodies that you just goes and then it falls over and goes to sleep. Like, so like if I have a crap night's sleep because of kids coming in or someone was up getting sick or whatever, I know I'll just naturally wake up at 5 a.m. and I might have a nap at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. and I might have another one at 2 for 10 minutes here. Or like I might be reading a book or looking at my computer and then suddenly I'm asleep. So, you know, like my body works like that, you know.
Yeah, no, it's really good to hear, because I'm sure everybody out there is going to be thinking exactly the same kind of thing, like, oh, how do you do it? But let's talk about something else that I know really, really helps. And I think it's something that is so inspirational. I know when I first met you guys, you were doing handstands in the middle of Paddington Station. So let's talk about movement. What is your philosophy on movement throughout the day?
Yeah. We're all mammals. Ever listen to this? And we tend to become through modern day civilization and technology, and this, we tend to become quite disconnected from our sense of the sense of nature, the sense of our bodies,
all sense of that, animal.
Yeah, and that sense of primalness that we have to move, and movement gives us oxygen, and oxygen is our primary fuel source, and movement also increases like our lymph being pumped around our body, and lymph are kind of like the brains of our immune system. They're so important. So I think movement is something that, I don't know, did you ever watch that documentary on Netflix at the moment, very popular, called My Octopus Teacher?
No, but now I will. TV at the moment for me is taking a backseat.
Oh, it's phenomenal, if you can. It's really, really beautiful. Okay. But I loved when the presenter, the guy that made the documentary, he spoke about an octopus. 80% of its brains are in its body, and it kind of needs to move to get the blood flowing, to get itself thinking. And I tend to be a bit like that. Not that I'm saying I'm an octopus, but I find movement helps me think better. Like often, if I'm sitting at a computer and I'm kind of really focused on something, I'll often kind of give myself an hour to focus hard and what I'm trying to achieve for that hour. And then once the hour is up, I got to go walk, I got to do something, got to do some handstands for 10 minutes, but just something to kind of get the blood pumping, move my body, and then I come back a little bit more productive and a little bit more awake.
And even when you think about it, that like a great example is that, like, anyone with young kids, there was a study done to see, they wanted to link movement to happiness, like how it correlates to our well-being and our sense of self. So they looked at young kids and they said, okay, young kids are not very good, like, as... And this was typically, I think, was between 4 and 8 year olds. They moved like nonstop throughout the day. And they found an average kid smiled somewhere between 300 and 400 times a day. Whereas adults, who are world class at sitting still, you know, we've had 18 years of practice in school, and we in work, a lot of us sit for jobs. And they found an average adult. Have a guess how many times an average adult smiles?
Oh, it's going to be depressing, isn't it? okay, I'd hope we'd smile maybe at least 20 times a day, which doesn't sound a lot at all.
Yeah, the average is 30, and then a particularly jubilant adult might smile 50 times.
That's just awful, isn't it?
Yeah, and the link with that, which they were making with the research, was just showing that movement, how inherent it is to our well-being. And you think about it, even like, as Stephen said, we're mammals, and we forget that we're mammals because we're so civilized and domesticated in a sense. But if you've got a dog, you'll know yourself that... Like if a dog is kept in the house for a day, it'll get a bit antsy and wired. But after the second day or the third day, it starts to look depressed if you don't walk it. And we're the same as humans, like movement just lights us up. And even if I can talk to, like the other day, Steve was feeling stressed out of his head. I met him at 9 a.m. and he just wasn't in a good place. It was like, right, Steve, come on, we got to go for a run. Because I know that movement just moves stress and tension out of our bodies. And we went for a run and came back and he was grand. He forgot what he was worried about. You know, the way it just sometimes it builds up in your body, like movement is just such an inherent thing for all of us. And for some of us more so than others, we're quite physical creatures. But I think everyone inherently movement just makes us.
And movement doesn't have to be triathlons or Ironman or handstands or any of this stuff. It's walking. It's anything. Like it could be doing it, you know, doing a few stretches, like literally going for a walk out in nature has a wonderful ability to kind of help us relax.
And even Steve was saying there that he mentioned the blue zones. Like when you look to the blue zones, this is the longest living people on the planet. They don't do Ironmans. They don't do triathlons. They don't go to the gym. They don't need abs. They don't need a big booty. They just move consistently throughout the day. That's their recipe, that their environment forces them to move every 20 minutes so that they're not sitting for very long times. And by that, they mean they don't have cars. They just cycle or walk everywhere.
Amazing.
They don't have dishwashers. They have to wash their own dishes. They grow a lot of their own veg. They're damn moving as they get older. And they typically, as they get older, they live in multi-generational homes. So there's like grandparents, there's parents and kids all in the one home. So as the grandparents get much older, they still have to interact with the young kids. So just movement is inherent and it's baked into their lifestyle. So for anyone who's listening, how you could kind of apply that is if you do have a job where you work at a desk, drink loads of water, because if you are not wearing a nappy, you're going to have to get up and go to the toilet regularly, which is great.
Hey!
Yeah, brilliant. Try to do meetings walking, like put your headphones on and do your Zoom calls or whatever you've got to do. You can surely walk for some of them. And that's really a basic habit to do. Make sure, as we were talking about social accountability, arrange to meet friends for walking dates, for chats, for all these type of things. But really try to consciously bake it into your day, because society nowadays is set up for us to be sedentary. You know, if you look at it, I think it's more than 45% of people in the UK are actually sedentary, that they get on average between 5,000 to 6,000 steps a day. They don't meet the minimum requirement of 10,000 steps a day, which is recommended.
Yeah, I think you're right. It brings it back to the fact that we've got this incredible, amazing modern lifestyle. But is it so amazing? Because it is taking away... This may sound a bit drastic, and obviously not for everybody, but it's taking away elements of our health, the fact that we're not out there moving as much. Like you said, we're not washing the dishes. And it is, I guess everything's now about convenience, isn't it? And saving time. But actually, we'd probably be a much happier nation if we did go back to basics. And like you said, get our daily dose of nature, get outside, move as much as we can, because we are a bit disconnected. I would say. So what about goal setting? Do you guys goal set in the morning? Is that something that is in your routine?
We tend to be, me and Dave, I guess we're fortunate because we were born twins. So we kind of naturally have this sense of accountability. And I think one of the great joys of being a twin and the challenges is that you're inherently like ridiculously competitive, because from a young age, we've been competing for our mother's love and attention. So it's something that kind of spurs us on and supports and encourages us, which is great. So I think who isn't a twin, I'd recommend trying to get someone that can help support you in terms of kind of encouraging along. Because to bring this back to daily goal setting, we tend to just spur each other on, which is quite fortunate. And I cut you off. Sorry, Dave.
I was just going to say that one habit which I have is, and I've only recently got into the last few months with a friend, is that instead of writing goals, it's called a daily design. And this is what we do, Will. I'll write down my day, I'll write down my day as if it's finished. But it won't be, I did this or I did that. It's more how I was during my day. So previously, when I first started doing this, it was like, I might write, oh, I got all my work done and I had a great day with the kids and I had a great dinner with Sab or whatever it might be. But now I'm much more right about how I was during the day, that I was relaxed and calm and easy. I had a really pleasant day. I was kind to myself. I was, you know, it's much more about how I live my day than what I'm doing. Because ultimately, I think that's more valuable than the actual intrinsic level of productivity, because my own relationship with myself, I've recently found, is much more important than my level of, you know, outwardly positive productivity, if you know what I mean. But it's a fun little thing to do. Like, I'll write it retrospectively as if I finished my day and write it down.
In the morning, you write it in the morning.
Yeah, I write it in the morning and I send it to a friend. Send it to Sam and I'll usually write the day before and he'll do the same. He'll write his day And we write yourself for the day before, and it tends to be a great habit and a great kind of social accountability thing. I'll just do it in WhatsApp and text it to him, and he'll do the same and send it to me.
That's so lovely. What a nice friendship, because that's another example of the fact that sometimes I think we put too much pressure on ourselves. I'm sure everyone was thinking this podcast was going to be, oh, the perfect morning routine is get up, do XYZ, write 10 different things that you're going to achieve today. But sometimes setting yourself up for that kind of accountability isn't as productive as you guys have said. I mean, luckily you have each other, don't you? Which is very good. And you run an incredible business together, and you make delicious food, and you write incredible books. So you're pretty. You've got a lot of things to hold each other accountable to. But I think sometimes we have to be realistic, don't we? Because I don't know. I feel like sometimes people set themselves up for failure by mentally doing so.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the challenges, just to bring back to that topic you mentioned about us being quite disconnected, and often that we kind of, it might be beneficial to our health to somewhat go back to more basic physiological needs of spending more time in nature and slowing down. And I think that's part of the challenge of modern day society, is that success is often the big house, the big car. It's often seen as materialistic things. But as I get older now, I'm 40, I find I'm much more interested in the kind of intrinsic things of how I feel in myself, that there's a sense of ease, a sense of joy, a sense of appreciation, a sense of being able to appreciate the present moment. And that's how I measure success. So I think that's part of the challenge of us as a society, is that we need to possibly question the paradigm of what is success.
Oh, I know. And that's a whole podcast.
I've gone off on a whole other one. But anyway.
Okay, talk to me about food a little bit. I think we have to discuss food as part of your morning routine, because you guys love your food. Breakfast, is it a yay, a nay? What do you guys do?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Sure. We've recently started a sourdough bakery. So of the last couple of weeks, me and Dave have been in baking 8 out of the 14 days at 5 a.m. in baking bread. So often you crack a loaf, you pull a loaf out of the oven, it just looks too amazing. That caramelized crust, and you just rip it open. Oh, and it's magnificent. So breakfast, in terms of us ourselves, we tend to, and what we often recommend, is to try to eat as much as you can whole plant food. So no one listening, I wouldn't recommend anyone necessarily to be vegan or vegetarian or anything. But what we do espouse is to encourage people to eat more whole foods, because I could be eating a vegan or a vegetarian diet and eat nothing but Mars bars and French fries and cans of Coke. But I guess 9 out of 10 people in Ireland and the UK don't get their RDA of fibre, as in their recommended daily intake of fibre. And fibre is so vitally important. And it's something that I guess society at large is so deficient of. Even I remember recently we were trying to get a healthy food kind of course going nationally in Ireland. And we were starting a pilot project in my daughter's school. And I went down and I was speaking to the principal. And she's probably in her 80s, an amazing lady, Sister Kathleen. And I started talking. I said the word fibre. And she suddenly lit up and got really turned on. I was like, oh my God, I'm sitting here with a nun, and she just got turned on when I used the word fibre. And I was like, what the hell's going on here? And I asked her more, and she said, it's amazing. I've been principal here for many, many years. And in the last 5 years, every week, two to four children go home due to constipation. And this was never an issue. And she said, directly, I've seen the impact of the change of diet in modern day society, and that how the lack of fibre is causing constipation and other issues.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
That is quite shocking, and it does go to show, I guess that's an area that either myself, as you know, working in public health nutrition, we forget about the fact that it could cause, of course, time off work or time home from school for children. It makes a big difference. So you have your fresh bread, you're all about getting more fiber and nutrients in, which is so important, but how do you eat it then? Do you follow the rules of mindful eating?
No, like I think we live life. I think we like, yeah. There's so many things about trying to live the perfect life, and it's just have a laugh, don't take things too serious, eat lots of vegetables and spend time with your friends and time outdoors. Like that's probably our recipe in general. And I think if you get too kind of narrow or too microscopic in one area, those, you can lose the balance of the full thing. Because, you know, like I can see in myself at times in my life, I've gone too neurotic into food, and I got into raw vegan food, and I was extremely neurotic of just eating blah, blah, blah. But I was very isolated, and I was excluded from a lot of things. And it was healthy physiologically, but it wasn't healthy for the greater sense of me. So I think there's a balance between everything, you know. And certainly, like, we've eaten a plant-based diet for 20 years now, and definitely are huge proponents for eating, you know, as we said, whole plant foods. And by that, I mean fruit, veg, beans, legumes, nuts and seeds.
And even we've seen firsthand, we started doing healthy eating courses upstairs in our cafe back about 10 years ago. And they mostly came out of I remember Dave met Mary Cahill, and she'd done Weight Watchers, and she was able to say, over the last 8 weeks, I lost a stone. And we were like, wow, she was able to measure the improvement in her health. So we thought, I wonder, can we come up with a course where people can actually measure and prove the improvement in their health? So Dave went down to the local. He'd read a book by Dr. Dean Ornish, who'd kind of proved in clinical trials he could reverse the indicators of cardiovascular disease, the number one killer in Western civilization. Mm-hmm. So we went down to the local doctor, Brendan Cuddy, knocked on his door. How are you, Bren? We want to reverse heart disease. Do you have a nurse? Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, sure, try Angela. She's next door. We went into Angela, and Angela, how are you? We want to reverse heart disease. Are you in? And she kind of said, go away, lads. What are you talking about? And we said, we pay you 50 quid. And she said, yeah, I'm in. Right. So we went back to the shop and we put up posters saying, you know, healthy eating course, you know, healthy, skinny, sexy, free. And we got 20 people signed up. And they arrived on the Thursday night. It was going to be a 4-week course. And Angela, they went into Angela, who's a nurse, and she measured everyone's cholesterol, weight and blood pressure. So we'd start in measurements. And they came upstairs to me and Dave, and we, as chefs, taught them how to eat a whole food plant-based diet. So most of these people were just normal people, probably a bit curious what the hell we were doing, weren't even that interested in it. But in essence, it was teaching them how to eat fruit and veg. And we didn't know if this was going to work. We were totally taking a punt on it. We put videos with doctors on just to kind of add a bit more validity as to what we were trying to do. And I remember on the last night, feeling so nervous, feeling like if this doesn't work, this is going to undermine everything we believe. And we're going to have to, like, I don't know, get a job or something. But thankfully, there was an average drop of cholesterol of 20%. Everyone lost weight, blood pressure regulated. It was amazing results. And subsequently, we got a lot of media attention. And we ended up, it got too busy. So we built online courses. And as a result, we've had kind of 50,000 people through our online courses. And we've seen it in thousands and thousands and thousands of cases. Just the impact of what people eat and how it can affect their health in so many different ways.
That's incredible. And I think it's just so, so nice that you actually brought what you believed into the community. So again, you're doing it collectively. You're sharing information. You're talking about it. But you definitely mentioned the fact that you could get a bit too neurotic about stuff. And I think that's the case. It's very all or nothing, and health shouldn't be like that, should it? It should be something that makes you happy, because I think if anything you're doing makes you unhappy and isolates you from certain areas of life, then it's definitely not the way forwards, is it?
Completely agree. And even if you think about it, like, most people listening probably know someone that's lived to the age of 90 or even 95. They didn't eat a vegetable in their life. They smoked cigarettes. They drank a bottle of whiskey every day. They gambled, but they probably were surrounded by people they loved. They probably had great joy and laughter. They probably had great purpose in life and probably great faith. And they lived a long, happy, prosperous life. So there's so many roads to health. And I think the connection bit is the piece that we're missing nowadays, like the connection and the joy. And because it can, you know, sometimes health can be synonymous with yoga and meditation and eating kale. And that doesn't sound like that much fun to a lot, many people, you know.
You're right. People are aware of the sleep. We're aware that diet makes a difference, but it definitely is connection. So that means that the key to success. Oh, before we do move on from diet, though, I want to ask you guys about caffeine. Like, do you use caffeine as a kind of go-to? Because so many people in society obviously can't function without their cup of coffee in the morning.
I think it's about doing your best. I think there's no right or wrong, and like, thou should not do it or do it. Like, I think if you're kind of having 10 cups a day and you can't function without it, well, maybe possibly it's too much. But I think, you know, there's that ground where you can still, like, what coffee often offers to many people is that little small daily luxury, that moment, that symbolic kind of gesture of sitting down and savoring it. This is for me. And it's a cheap luxury, like it's 3-4 euro or whatever it is. It's something that offers a wonderful space for that. Like, we, in terms of my own personal journey with coffee, we have 4 cafes and we've had them for about 16 years now. And when we first started them for about the first 5 years, I didn't want to sell coffee. Coffee was a drug. It's a stimulant. We shouldn't have it. That's bad. We want to get people eating healthy. And about 5 years into it, a friend, Paul Grimes, started working with us. And Paul was a total coffee, massive enthusiast, and had been a barista for years. And he was talking about, we're chefs, so we were intrigued. He was talking about, like, an Ethiopian natural that tastes of blueberries, or a Rwandan processed coffee that just tastes of, like, almonds and pralines and things like this. And I was fascinated. So he kind of started educating me about coffee and just the depth of flavor profile. And as a result, we kind of started a coffee roastery, and I've really got interested in just the different varietals. Like, there's over 1200 flavor profiles in coffee versus only 400 in red wine. And that coffee, the means, there's such a craft in it, and it's something that I find very beautiful. But to bring it back to your question, I think if coffee makes you feel better, helps you eat a little bit healthier, gives you a little bit more joy in your life, I think fabulous. Get it into you. But just be conscious, if you're having 10 cups a day and you're shaking and twitching, you can't sit still, possibly you have a bit of an issue with it.
That's just it. It's definitely not all or nothing. And I love that fact about the variety of coffee compared to red wine, for instance. Who'd have thought?
Oh, it's fascinating. Like, most people think a cup of coffee is a cup of coffee. But like, if you try, like, say a Kenyan natural coffee that literally, like, it's bizarre. You're tasting coffee that can taste of strawberry, and you're like, that's not coffee. And it's remarkable and exquisite and really beautiful, and something that I guess we love to pursue and enjoy the art and the craft.
Do you know what I would love to pursue is chocolate. I swear that wouldn't that be the dream? Why don't you guys open up instead of a bakery?
Stephen will.
I've been making bean to bar chocolate for about 2 to 3 years now. And it's something that, like coffee, I've fallen down the romance, like sourdough, just that sense of craft and connection with origin and different flavor profiles within the natural bean itself. And one day, Rena, and I promise, when you come visit, let's play chocolate in our chocolate shop.
Yes, please. I'm going to hold you guys. I'm going to hold you to it. And talking about chocolate. Chocolate is definitely something that lifts all of our moods. I mean, look at the conversation, how we've just turned on the fact that we're talking about chocolate.
Oh, yes.
We'll get the enthusiasm in there. Are there certain foods you guys love to go for a kind of pick-me-up or a mood boost? Is there anything that really makes you think, right, I'm feeling a bit sluggish, what am I going to reach for? Do you have any of that?
Normally the first thing I'd always try to do is to try to reach for some form of movement. And I know this is, I'm giving the textbook answer here.
Given the ideal.
I wouldn't expect any less.
Yeah, to try to do some form of movement. Because often when you do a tiny little bit of movement, instead of going for that chocolate bar, suddenly you go for a glass of water. And then after you've had the glass of water, suddenly the chocolate bar or the confectionery or the kind of refined processed food suddenly is less desirable. And I think the first thing that I, ideally speaking here, is to try to go for movement. And if not, and I feel totally not, a little bit of chocolate's great. You know, a little bit of cake. Yeah, I think cake has its place. You know, even, can I tell a tiny little story?
I love a story.
If it's okay. So a friend, I call Harold his real name. Harold moved over here recently. He'd been living in Dublin. And Harold has been eating kind of a high nutrient dense foods, very 80% raw diet, really into his eating nutrient dense foods and being kind of somewhat neurotic in his approach to food. And I was having a debate with Harold, just saying, I think cake has a really healthy place in a kind of healthy diet. And he was like, oh, I don't know. And I was telling him about just that sense of at sunrise often with the people who swim in the sea all year round are dear friends, we often celebrate each other's birthday because it's a real opportunity to celebrate life. Mm. And say the other day we were down and it was Linda's birthday. Linda just turned 71. And a number of us made cakes. There was about 6 or 7 cakes. The sun rose. It felt like we were at like a 7-year-old's birthday party. It was just this sense of jubilant, sense of joy, sense of yes, please. You know, this type of just joyous, jubilant atmosphere. And in that case, cake was just, it gave that opportunity to mark an occasion. It gives that sense of food that is exceptional from the norm, that just gives you that sense of wow, joy, jubilance, serotonin released, yay! So in that case, I think cake is wonderfully healthy, and cake really has a healthy place to celebrate life.
It's but all that about being, celebrating. Oh, no, go on.
And I was going to say that being that it's probably like, you know, most of your diet being whole plant foods, like that's the name of the game. And then cake being the minority rather than the majority.
Because if you look in Ireland, plants,
you get the fibre, don't you?
Yeah.
If you look at the UK and Ireland right now, I guess we know this through doing our Happy Good course with Dr. Alan Desmond and dietitian Rosie, that 55% of all calories consumed in the UK and Ireland at the moment are ultra processed foods. Yeah. They're not even processed. They're super refined.
And about 40% are animal based foods and less than 10% are whole plant foods.
It's whereas all backwards.
It is. And when you look at the longest living people from the blue zones, again, 95% of their diet plus is whole plant foods.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't have access to the numerous amounts of convenience food that we have in Western society. And that once again becomes, I don't want anybody listening to think we're saying you can never have these things. Of course you can. It's just about really trying to make food, whole foods fun and celebrating them again. And one thing that actually lockdown has done for us, I'm recording this in 2020, has been the resurgence of cooking from scratch, because I do feel that lacked before, and now suddenly everyone's at home. I do think people are getting in their kitchen a bit more. Now, I don't know if you have found the same thing over in Ireland.
Yeah, there's definitely way more. Like we have about 50 products that we sell in about 1,000 stores around Ireland. Kind of all health foods, from pestos to granolas to ready-made dinners.
Oh,
and this
your
thing.
Pesto! Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. Pesto's great. I still adore it. But we've seen a decline in our kind of prepared meals, that people aren't buying them as much. And that's because, thankfully, and I say that as in a greater societal sense.
But then we have seen a big uptake, and we've got a vegan cooking course, and we've seen a lot more people taking that, like a huge amount more people wanting to learn to cook. So, you know, it's funny how you see it drop in the other, but you see a huge uptake in terms of even traffic to our recipes online has shot up, you know.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. Anyway, I could talk about this forever, but we must get questions in from our listeners, because we've got lots of them for you guys.
Cool.
Let me pick one that I feel we haven't covered. Right, let's start with this one, because we briefly touched on this and I don't know what your thoughts are. Yasmin has said, I like the sound of meditating, but what's the first step? Now, I know you said earlier you don't need to be meditating, so I'd love your thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, can I go first, yeah. David? Do you want to go?
No, you go first.
Okay, so I think meditation for many people are attracted to it, and for many it's binary, they're quite repulsed by it. So I think meditation ultimately is the practice of being present. And for some people that could be meditation, it could be yoga as in movement meditation. For others it could be going for a walk, it could be sitting, you know, with a pet, just petting it, because often when I'm with my cats, I have to slow down and kind of be a lot more present and not kind of caught up in the future or the past. So I think ultimately meditation is to reach a state with which you're fully present. You're not thinking of the future, you're not thinking of the past, you're literally lost in the moment. So I think any action that anyone brings them back to the present moment, to me, is meditation. And for some that could be running, for some that could be playing sport with friends, for some it could be out having a cup of coffee, for others it could be sitting quiet, literally meditating. So I think the term meditation can be, for me, is a state of mind as opposed to a specific practice.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. Do we have any other thoughts to add on that? Or?
I was just going to say, like, we have meditated for years and I find it a great habit. And when I'm sitting there, like at the moment, life is quite busy. So I typically meditate for 10 minutes most days. I don't beat myself up when I don't. And it's I just focus on my breath. I just focus on my breath and the sensations in my body. And by doing that, the voice in my head tends to get a lot quieter and there's less focus on it, because my focus is really on the sensations within my body and my breath, and 10 minutes is quite achievable. If 10 minutes is quite is too long, maybe start with 3 and then build it up to 5 and then go for 10 and see where you go from there. But as long as it's adding value to your day, if it's stress and tension, don't bother with it. Like, go for a walk instead.
Yeah, no, that's very, very good advice. Shelley has asked, working from home, I'm going from bed to desk. What can I do to make my commute more eventful?
Wow. Do a few laps around the block. I think definitely that sounds like prison.
It does, I'd
say,
doesn't it?
It really does. Like, I'd say you've got to get out of the house and start, do a 1K loop on your, make your commute that it's a 1K loop around your block. Like, there's somewhere you can walk for around where you live and come back, and just, that's your discipline. That's what you do every day before you go to work, or that's what you do at lunchtime. And you've got, maybe you go meet a friend and you do that, but some habit which is just getting you out of the house. And it's being disciplined with it, because as you said, it can be easy, but not much joyous to just get out of bed and sit at your desk for the day looking at
the screen. Here's a suggestion, me kind of going off on one. A possible meditation to bring these two answers in together is to try to walk to a nearby park, and a sense just to spend 10 minutes walking around the park and imagining like this was the last day you were going to live, and just like literally seeing it with fresh eyes, and that sense of appreciation that this moment is going to pass, and that sense of just like, wow, look at the grass, look at the dew on the grass, really appreciating everything in that sense of freshness, that sense of new eyes.
Yeah, no, I love that. Definitely, you need to get out the house. I know exactly what it's like being stuck in the house at the moment, working from home, new baby, all of that. If you don't get out, you feel downright miserable. So it is important to make sure you get outside. Eliza has said, I feel I need to kickstart my life again. This is a bit broad. What's your best trick? I mean, I don't really have any more than that.
I'd say exactly, start with movement, because first and foremost, we're animals, and movement, just biologically, you'll get more bang for your buck than that, than anything. Second thing is your sleep. Those things are the foundations. And after that, it's eating vegetables. Like, it really is. It's eating vegetables, whole grains, lentils, nuts and seeds. And if you prioritize eating most of your diet out of them, if you can get good sleep, and if you're moving lots, you're going to feel so much better. Your life will just compound. Like, when you're spending time outside, you might make more friends, you might meet more people, you might, you know, your life will transform little by little.
I absolutely love that. Okay, we're going to move on, guys, to the fact or fiction round. So what I think I'm going to do is, you're just going to both have to shout out the answer, fact or fiction, because you're not together as we're recording this. I know you're both in separate rooms. This is going to be fun. Are you ready?
Yes. Fact.
Okay.
Facts.
Okay, hold off. Wait. Right, here we go. There's no perfect morning routine.
Fact.
Great. You'll be more productive if you exercise in the morning.
Fact.
Light helps with telling your brain the day has begun.
Fact.
Start your morning the evening before.
Good one. Fact. Yeah, it's a nice one.
That's
yeah,
nice. If it works,
like, none of the, I think these are all just do your best. Like, life is imperfect in its perfection.
Love that.
Oh, Dave.
So many wonderful phrases coming out. Don't spend too much time on low-level decisions.
Love it. Fact. Yeah, just like this one.
Do your best. Yeah.
Begin your day with the biggest challenge.
Oh,
only if you feel like it. Some days you might just feel like crying. Don't do the biggest challenge then, like, because after a good cry, it might feel better. Like,
and some days you might feel just a little bit lower in energy, and I think it's about building momentum. And often it might start with a few easy wins, and suddenly you got a bit of momentum to take the faster, the bigger one. So it depends, you know. I think I'm going to go with fiction there. Fiction, okay.
Fiction,
fiction. Right, we've got fiction. Reading is linked with success factors.
Maybe.
Depends. I'm going with maybe. Depends on what you're reading.
Depends, and it depends on if you're illiterate or not. Like, I don't know. I think there's so many. I think possibly.
Maybe. Okay.
And maybe. We'll call that a faction one. Work smarter, not longer.
Yeah, fact.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Spending time with family and friends can help with energy levels.
Of course. I think that's the one piece that we focused on most today, and it's about connections and this, the essential need for humans in your life. They will make you better. And as I said at the start of this, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go together. And I really, really, that's a philosophy that we live our life by.
Yeah, and that sense of together we're better, and that sense of that we become the product of our environment. And I think the more you can create an environment that supports you to make the healthier choice or the choice you want to make, the healthier you're going to be. Because if you look at these blue zones, the bit they don't kind of make it out of kind of free will, that they kind of sense, I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to live healthy. It's just that their environment forces them to do it. And I know from our own experience, when we started The Happy Pair, the main reason we started was we wanted to create an environment that supported us to live this new lifestyle that we'd found. So we grew up eating kind of a meat and two veg diet, and we were very kind of into playing rugby, and we were total meatheads. And we went away traveling and kind of ended up finding that we were much more interested in eating vegetables and being healthy. And we kind of wanted to come back and live a life that kind of encouraged others and supported us to do this. We started our business to ultimately to help create an environment that made it easier for us to eat healthy.
That's so awesome. We started a vegetable shop and a cafe.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be hard to get your food for thought at the end because you've given us so many on this, actually. So the last question, guys, multitasking is the quickest way of getting things done.
No way. Absolute fiction.
Love it. Great. That was the end of the fact or fiction round.
Boom.
Love it.
Good fun.
Do we win?
Definitely, Jay. Definitely.
There's no losers, there's only winners, aren't there?
Yeah, of course.
That does, unfortunately, I'm gutted, nearly wrap up this episode. And we do always finish with a food for thought. So I'm going to quickly reel off something to give you guys time to better what you've already said in this episode today. So I think mine would be the fact that we are all unique. And I love the conversation we've had today about connection with people. It's actually reminded me that that's the missing piece of the puzzle, you quite rightly said. And I know you guys talk about this a lot, and you've got your new book. And I really, really, really think if you can get all the pieces of the pie, then you're just on your way. Like, you get the diet sorted, just aim for more whole foods, like we said, get more plant varieties in. Movement. I love what you guys have said about movement today and sleep, and you should be on your way. And do you know what? I'm not going to take up any more time on that because I think we need to hear from both of you a final take home message, a good food for thought from Dave and Steve today. Who wants to go first? Dave, Steve?
Steve.
Okay, Steve. Cool. I'll go with first. I think the number one most important thing for anyone listening to benefit your life is that sense of friendship and connection. Because nowadays, even in the UK in 2018, there was a minister appointed in the government, Minister for Loneliness, because it's become such an epidemic. And I think it's something that we tend to be very, we've loads of friends in social media, but in recent studies in the US, they found out when people were going through a sense of emergency and they had to call someone to help them in the middle of the night, it's gone from the 1950s to be 5 to 6 people to in recent times to the average number being 0. So I think it's something that to prioritize this sense of knowing our neighbors, supporting each other, building this sense of social resilience in the flesh, not online. So I think it's that sense of building this tribe around you. And when I say tribe, I know it's a total cliched word, but a sense of people that have similar values to you. They tend to live a life that you want to. If you want to exercise, people join a running club. If you want to start eating healthy, get mates that are into eating healthy. Try to get people around you that will support you, because it's just going to benefit you, benefit them, and just help create the world that you want to live in. Boom!
Wow.
Sorry. Excuse me shouting.
Okay.
I love that.
And I was going to say two things. The first thing is I was going to say, like, just as I said earlier, and I'm kind of repeating myself here is like, people can see health as kind of pious and righteous, and it's, you know, it's trying to be better than someone else. But health, there's so many different roads to it. And ultimately, it's about having a laugh, not taking things too serious, you know, and really just enjoying yourself as much as you can, which sounds like such a simple answer. But like, that would be our philosophy in a nutshell. And then the final thing I wanted to say is we do have a new book out. It's called Happy Health Plan. It comes out December the 10th. And it's kind of the culmination of everything we talked about. It's like 10 years experience of having 50,000 people through our courses and all the learnings through that. And it's got over 90 delicious recipes. And it's got loads of kind of all our learnings from having doctors and dietitians and everything, you know.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait to get my hands on that. And you guys are also really good on social media. What are your handles so everyone can go and check you out?
The Happy Pair. You'll find us on pretty much everything. We tend to be quite noisy on it.
The internet.
Yeah, I was going to say, and honestly, for everybody listening, these two are some of the most inspirational people I've met in terms of really inspiring you to get going and try something new. So please do check them out. And Dave and Steve, a big thank you for your precious time today and for coming on Food for Thought. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love what's coming next week. So make sure that you click subscribe to be the first to hear it. If you have time to, we'd really appreciate it if you want to leave a review so that we can reach those higher highs in the charts and hopefully help more people. That is our mission here with this podcast. For more information about my Retrition Clinic, the books, healthy recipes, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.